Then we were at the beginning of the book still, on the initial treatise which the author brings, from the three, as we said, the three treatises that he brings to begin the book off with. And the first of those being, with regard to four matters, which it is obligatory that we learn. And as we had, the first of them being knowledge, the second of them being action upon the knowledge, the third of them being calling to it, calling to the knowledge, and the fourth of them being as-sabr, having patience upon harm encountered upon that way. Then last time we had the evidence, because the author mentioned, as we had, that he would bring evidence. It's obligatory upon us to have awareness of Allah and awareness of His Prophet and awareness of the religion of Islam with evidences. So he brings evidence in this book. So he mentioned the evidence for these four points, which was Surah Al-Asr, the saying of Allah the Most High. He said, and the proof is His saying, He the Most High, Al-Asr, Inna al-insana wa fi khusr, Illa al-ladina amanu wa amilu al-salihati wa tawassaw bil-haqti wa tawassaw bil-sabr. Surah Al-Asr, the ayahs with the explanation, by time, mankind is certainly in loss, except for those who have iman, those who truly believe, and who perform the righteous deeds, ya rahmakallah, and who enjoin one another with the truth, and who enjoin one another with sabr, with patience. So last time, towards the end of what we had last time, in the last lesson we had, the matter of calling to knowledge, calling to the knowledge and having patience upon the knowledge, and we had the surah. And Shaykh al-Fawzan explained in what we had the beginning of the surah, wal asr, the explanation by time. And we had that this was an oath, that our Lord, the Exalted and Most High, swears an oath here by time. And Shaykh al-Fawzan explains some of the important points, that Allah the Most High does not swear by something, that Allah the Most High may swear by whatever He wishes from His creation, whereas we, the creation, may only swear an oath in the name of Allah, in the name of the Creator. But as for the Creator, Allah the Most High, then He may swear by whatever He wishes from creation, and He only swears by something which is something of importance and something which contains a lesson. So Shaykh al-Fawzan, in his explanation, explains some of the important lessons which are contained in time. And then he reached, and the explanation reached the point, which on my edition is page 31, and your edition, the Egyptian edition, which most of you have, is a different page. Anyway, that Shaykh al-Fawzan raises a question here, continuing explanation of the surah. And he raises a question, ما هو جواب القسم? So there's, in other words, there's been an oath here, wal asr. Allah the Most High has sworn an oath by time. And then the oath is sworn to affirm something. The oath is sworn to affirm something. In Arabic, what it's sworn to affirm is called jawab al-qasam, literally the answer to the oath, but in English they call it the complement of the oath. So Shaykh al-Fawzan raises the question, ما هو جواب القسم? What is the complement of this oath? I mean, what is this oath sworn to, sworn upon? Shaykh al-Fawzan said, it is his saying, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. The explanation continues here. It is the answer to this oath, what it's sworn, the oath is sworn about, or sworn to. It is his saying, in the second ayah, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. The explanation, mankind is certainly in loss. So in other words, that Allah the Most High has sworn an oath by time, that what? That mankind is certainly in loss. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan explains the word al-insan, mankind. He said it means the whole, all of the descendants of Adam. He did not exclude anyone, neither the kings, nor the leaders, nor the rich people, nor the poor people, nor the free people, nor the slaves, nor the males, nor the females. So al, in the word al insan, is alif and lam, mankind, he said, is for istighraq. Again, a rule of Arabic grammar. The al in the al insan is for istighraq, to make the word all inclusive. In other words, to make it mean al insan, all of insan, all of mankind. Now, al at the start indicates it refers to all of them. Sheikh Rawzan said, all of the descendants of Adam are in khusr, are in loss, meaning they will be in khasara and halak. They will be in loss and destruction if they waste this precious time, the time that's already been sworn by in the time. So all of mankind will be in loss and destruction if they waste this precious time and they utilize it in disobedience to Allah and in doing that which will harm them. And this time, which is very cheap with many people, and many people treat time as being a very cheap commodity. So he said, and this time, which is very cheap with many people, time seems prolonged for them. They become weary and bored, and they say, نريد قتل الوقت. They say, we want to kill some time. So they bring amusements, or they travel abroad to spend a holiday and just to spend some time somewhere. Or they laugh and joke to use up time. So those people, they use it up and waste it. Then it will be loss and regret. It will be khasara, loss, and nadama, regret, upon them on the day of resurrection. And it would be, or and it could be, the source for their true happiness, for their sa'ada, if only they took care of it in this time which they waste, and therefore it will be loss and regret for them on the day of resurrection. It could be, if they use it properly, it could be the source for their sa'ada, for their bliss and their true happiness, if only they took care of it. So all of the descendants of Adam are in loss and destruction, except for those who have the four qualities, which are, the four qualities referred to in this surah, the four qualities that the author, Shaykh al-Islam, mentioned here. All of mankind will be in loss and destruction, except those who have the four qualities, which are al-ilm, knowledge, and al-amal, action, and al-da'watu ila Allah, and calling to Allah, and as-sabru ala al-adha, having patience upon any harm which is caused. Having patience upon any harm which the person meets. So whoever has these four qualities will be saved from this loss. And having iman in Allah is not possible except through ilm, except through having knowledge, which is knowledge and awareness of Allah. وَعَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ So the first part of the second ayah. Try to explain that, as just as the author brought it. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except for those who have iman. And as Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and having iman, having true faith in Allah, is not possible except through having knowledge, which is knowledge and awareness of Allah. And the next part of the ayah, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they perform the righteous and correct deeds, Shaykh al-Fawzan said. Meaning they perform the righteous deeds from the wajibat, from the obligatory duties, or mustahabbat, and the recommended duties. So they utilize their time in performing the righteous deeds in that which will benefit them in their deen, in their religion, and their dunya, and in their worldly life. For even worldly action, even action for the dunya, even action of the dunya, even worldly action, contains good and can contain reward if it is done with the intention of using it as an aid upon obedience. It's an action from the actions of this world, but if it is done with the intention of aiding upon obedience to Allah, then that action earns reward as well. So how about action for the hereafter? So what is important is that you do not waste the time. Rather, you use it in something which will be to your advantage and benefit you. And then Shaykh Fawzan quotes the next part of the ayah, وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, and they enjoin each other with the truth. The next part of the ayah explains those who are accepted from the loss and destruction, those who have iman, those who perform righteous deeds, وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, and they enjoin each other with the truth. Shaykh Fawzan said, they command the good, and they forbid the evil, and they call, they give da'wah, they call to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And they teach al-ilm al-nafi', they teach beneficial knowledge. And they propagate ilm, knowledge, and good amongst the people. They become callers to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And then the Shaykh quotes the last part of the ayah, وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبَرِ, and they enjoin each other with sabr, with having patience. Shaykh Fawzan said, they have sabr, they have patience upon whatever strikes them. And then he explains the meaning of sabr, firstly in the language, and then what it's meant in the texts and in the legislation. So he said, as-sabr in the language means al-habs, means restraining. Sabr in the language means restraining, withholding, restraining. And what is meant by it here is habs al-nafsi ala ta'atillah, restraining oneself upon obedience to Allah. What's meant in the ayah, what's referred to in the ayah, is that restraining oneself upon obedience to Allah. That's what they enjoin each other with. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan makes an important point and says, and it, referring to sabr, patience, it is of three types. وَهُوَ ثَلَاثَةُ أَنْوَاءُ الأول صبر على طاعة الله الثاني صبر عن محارم الله الثالث صبر على أقدار الله. Patience, sabr, is of three types. There are three kinds of patience that we need to have. The first one is patience upon obedience to Allah. The second one is patience in keeping away from those things which Allah has forbidden. And the third one is having patience with those things which Allah has pre-decreed will occur. Having patience with those things that Allah has preordained to occur. And then Shaykh Fawzan breaks each of these three down and explains them. So the first of them, sabrun ala ta'atillah, patience upon obedience to Allah. Because the nafs, the person's soul, desires laziness. And it desires relaxation. So therefore a person must force it to have patience upon obedience. He has to work against his soul to push it to have sabr upon obedience to Allah, because the soul by naturally desires laziness and relaxation. So therefore, the Shaykh said, so therefore a person must force it to have patience upon obedience and upon the salah, upon the prayer, and upon fasting, and upon jihad in Allah's cause, even though it may dislike these matters. He should cause it to have patience, and he should restrain it upon obedience to Allah. And the second kind of patience is sabrun an maharimillah. Patience in keeping away from those things which Allah has made forbidden. The Shaykh said, the nafs, the soul, desires forbidden things, and shahawat, desires. It inclines towards them and is attracted to them. So therefore the person must bind it and restrain it away from the forbidden things. And this requires sabr, this requires patience. And it is not easy to prevent the soul from desires and forbidden things. Whoever does not have sabr, whoever does not have patience, then his nafs, his soul, will overcome him and incline towards forbidden things. And then Shaykh Fawzan mentions the third type of necessary patience. The third is as-sabru ala aqdarillahi al-mu'lima, having patience with the painful things which Allah has decreed. Al-masa'ib, the calamities which strike a person. From the death of a close relative, or loss of wealth, or illness which befalls a person. He must have patience, he must have sabr upon the preordainment and pre-decree of Allah. And he should not become vexed, he should not become angry and vexed and cross. He should not become vexed. And he should not become angry. Rather, he should restrain the tongue from niyaha, from wailing and forbidden lamenting, and from tasakhut, from displaying anger. And he should withhold his nafs, withhold himself from jaza, from vexation. And he should withhold his limbs from striking the cheeks and tearing the openings of the garment, the front openings of the garments. This is sabr, this is patience upon calamities. And when calamities strike, then these things are necessary. withholding one's heart and one's soul from feelings of vexation and anger and dissatisfaction and the like. And withholding one's tongue from expressing anger at what has happened, what has been decreed to occur. And withholding one's limbs from these forbidden acts, striking the cheeks and tearing the clothes. This is the sabr, the patience upon calamities. Al-masa'ib. But as for al-ma'a'ib, so upon masa'ib, calamities which Allah has decreed will occur, we have to have sabr, we have patience. The Shaykh said, but as for al-ma'a'ib, as for faults, things which are wrong with the person that he's accountable for, guilty about, as for faults, then he should not have patience upon them. Rather, he should repent, do tawbah. He should repent to Allah and flee away from them. However, with regard to masa'ib, calamities, which are not something which you yourself have done, rather, they are from Allah, the Mighty Majestic. He has decreed that they will occur to you as ibtila and imtihan, as a test and a trial, or as uquba, or as a punishment for you, for sins which you have committed. In the calamities and masa'ib which occur to a person, then it will be either for that. Either Allah has decreed it will occur to you as a test and a trial, or as a punishment for some sins which you have committed. Sheikh Fawzan said, just as occurs in his saying, He the Most High, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُو عَن كَثِيرٍ. Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, Ayah 30. With the explanation, and whatever calamity strikes you, then it is on account of the sins which your hands have committed. And Allah pardons and does not punish a great deal. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so if a musibah, if a calamity strikes the Muslim in his self, or in his wealth, or his children, or his close relative, or one of his brothers from the Muslims, then it is upon him to have sabr, to have patience, and to have ihtisab, to await reward. He the Most High said, and then he quotes the two ayahs, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayahs 156-157. With the explanation, those who, in the context of the people of sabr or people of patience, those who, when a calamity strikes them, they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Indeed, we belong to Allah, and we will certainly be returning to Him. Those people, upon them is salawat, upon them is praise from their Lord, and mercy, and they are the ones who are guided. Just as a side point in explanation of this ayah, then Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he mentions in his explanation, points of benefit from Surah Al-Baqarah, he said, with regard to these people of patience, of the three qualities are mentioned for them, that they will receive salawat from their Lord, and they will receive rahmah, mercy, and they will be upon guidance, huda. So with regard to salawat, Shaykh Uthaymeen mentioned, the scholars differ about its meaning. What's the meaning of salawat? The scholars differ in that regard. But the most correct of the sayings is that it means, أَثَّنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِي الْمَلَعِ الْأَعْلَى. what salawat here from their Lord means that Allah the Most High will praise them, mention them with words of praise to the highest company of angels. Back to the explanation of Shaykh Saleh al-Fawzan, then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is as-sabr, this is patience. And from that, from the patience upon calamities, from that, is having patience upon harm which comes in calling to Allah the Mighty and Majestic. For that is from the masa'ib, that is from the calamities. So it is upon you to have patience upon whatever you meet from harm upon the path of good. And do not turn away from doing good. Because some people wish to do good. However, if something which he dislikes faces him, he then says, it is not obligatory upon me to enter myself into these matters. And he's calling to something good, he wants to do good, wants to call to good, then something meets him unexpectedly, which he dislikes, some harm or the like. Sheikh said, then some people say, when that happens to them, it's not obligatory upon me to enter myself into the like of these matters. Then he abandons teaching, if he is a teacher. He abandons calling to Allah. He abandons giving the khutbah, if he is a khatib, one who gives the khutbah in a mosque. He abandons leading the prayer, the imamah, in the mosque. He abandons commanding the good and forbidding the evil. This person has not had sabr. He has not had patience upon the harm which came to him. And if you are upon a khata, if you are upon error, then it is upon you to turn back to the truth and to correctness. But if you are on haqq, if you are upon something true, and you have not erred, then it is upon you to have sabr and ihtisab. It's upon you to have patience and to await and expect reward. And to be aware and to feel that this is in the cause of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, and that you will receive reward for it. And that you remember the harm which occurred to the prophets, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, and how they had sabr, how they had patience, and how they strove and fought in Allah's cause, until Allah, the Mighty Majestic, gave them victory. Then comes, that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation of that point. Then in the main text, the author, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he brings a quote, قال الشافعي رحمه الله لو ما أنزل الله حجة على خلقه إلا هذه السورة لكفتهم لكفتهم. He said, الشافعي رحمه الله said, if Allah had not sent down any proof upon his creation except this surah, then that would have sufficed for them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, in explanation, his saying, al-Shafi'i, he is the Imam Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i. And al-Shafi'i is an ascription to his great-great-grandfather, Shafi', who's called Shafi'. And why is Imam al-Shafi'i carry the appellation al-Shafi'i into his great-great-grandfather, who was called Shafi'? And he was from Quraysh. He was from the tribe of Quraysh. From Banu Muttalib. From the clan of Muttalib. He died in the year 204. And he was one of the four Imams, Al-A'immatul Arba'ah. And just as a side point here, as the Sheikh mentioned, Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he died in the year 204, and he was born, as for those who wish to know, he was born in the year 150 in the town of Gaza, the town of Gaza in Palestine, present-day Palestine. And with regard to the point that Sheikh Fawzan mentioned, that his great-great-grandfather, he takes the name Shafi'i from his great-great-grandfather Shafi', and he was from the tribe of Quraysh. Then Imam Shafi'i, his lineage joins up with the lineage of the Prophet ﷺ 10 generations back. He was Muhammad bin Idris, Muhammad the son of Idris, the son of Al-Abbas, the son of Uthman, the son of Shafi', the son of As-Sa'ib, the son of Ubaid, the son of Abd Yazid, the son of Hashim, the son of Al-Muqtalib, the son of Abd Manaf. And Abd Manaf was the great-great-grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam Shafi'i's lineage joins up with his in the descendant Abd Manaf. Back to what Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, hafidhahullah, he said, and he said he was one of the four imams. And he said this saying, in the saying that the author quotes here, he said this saying, meaning if Allah had not sent down any proof upon his creation except this surah, Surah Al-Asr, then it would have sufficed for them. He said this saying because Allah has made clear in this surah asbab al-shaqawa wa asbab al-sa'ada, the reasons for wretchedness, shaqawa, and the means for sa'ada, the means for true happiness and success. Allah has made that clear in this surah. That's what it says. The reasons for wretchedness and the means for sa'ada, true happiness and success. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan explains that. So the asbab al-sa'ada, the means for true happiness and success, is, obviously the importance of this is clear to everyone, that everyone, what everyone desires is ultimate happiness and success. And true happiness, everyone will say that's what they want. So the Shaykh made clear, that's what's made clear in this surah. The means to success and the opposite, the means to total wretchedness. So Shaykh Fawzan said, so the means for true happiness and success is that the person has these four characteristics. Al-ilm, wal-amal, wal-da'wati, wal-sabru al-adha, fi sabilillahi ta'ala. Knowledge and action and calling and having patience upon harm in Allah's, in the cause of Allah, the Most High. Someone wants to know, how do you attain true happiness and success? That's, as the Sheikh mentioned, that's the four characteristics that a person needs. Obviously, the first of them being knowledge. So if a person can't even be bothered with knowledge, then he's in trouble. So, al-ilm, knowledge. And secondly, al-amal, action. Thirdly, al-da'wah, calling to it. And fourthly, having patience upon harm in the cause of Allah, the Most High. The Sheikh said, so Allah's proof is established upon his creation through this surah. Allah the Perfect says to them, I have made clear to you the means for true happiness in this short and brief surah. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions the point to clarify something which someone may misunderstand. And the Quran, all of it, and the Sunnah are details for these four matters. And the rest of the Quran and the rest of the whole of the Sunnah are details for these four matters. However, this surah has made clear the means to true happiness and success in general terms. Through it, the proof has been established upon the creation. And the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah give the details and clarify these four matters. Then the Shaykh clarifies what could be misunderstood, And the speech of Ash-Shafi'i does not mean that this surah is sufficient for mankind, even if Allah had not sent down anything else. I mean, it wouldn't be, someone might ask if this surah is sufficient, then what about all the other 113 surahs then? What about the rest of the sunnah? Should I say this is a misunderstanding? Obviously the rest of the surahs and the rest of the sunnah are a clarification, a necessary clarification of that. So that's not the meaning of what Imam Shafi'i said. Then he said, but rather, it is that Allah has established the proof upon them. Or rather, it, the surah, has established the proof upon them. That's the meaning of what Imam Shafi'i said. This surah establishes the proof upon them. It would be sufficient to establish proof against them. Because Allah has made clear in it the means to true happiness and the reasons for total wretchedness. So on the day of resurrection, no one can say, I did not know the means to true happiness, and I did not know the reasons leading to total wretchedness, when he has read this surah, when he has read this brief and short surah. And that's where Sheikh Fawzan ends explanation of this quote, and then he follows it with a quote from Imam al-Bukhari. So he brings it, he's brought the surah, Sheikh Fawzan explained the surah, then the author brought the saying of Imam al-Shafi, stressing the importance of this surah. So we'll leave that part of the explanation, what follows from the text, till next time inshallah, but just something small. In addition to that, in another explanation of the book, The Three Principles, the explanation of our doctor and Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Qasim, who is an imam of the Masjid of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina, and the khatib gives the khutbah there, he mentions in his explanation, he mentions some nice points here, and some quotes from Ibn Qayyim. So he says, the deen, the religion, all of it, just to make it very clear so nobody gets confused, this is outside what Sheikh Fawzan's explanation, that's the end of Sheikh Fawzan's explanation of this point, it's just something extra. So the Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Qasim said, the religion, all of it, is Iman, true faith, and action, and da'wah, and calling to it, and sabr, and having patience. The religion, all of it, is that, those four things. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he said, the Salaf, the predecessors, were agreed upon the fact that a scholar, an alim, does not deserve to be called Rabbani. This is a great term for the foremost scholars, Rabbani. A scholar does not deserve to be called Rabbani until he knows the truth and acts upon it and teaches it. So whoever knows and acts and teaches, then that one is counted as one who is great in the kingdom of the heavens. Quote from Ibn Qayyim in his book Zad al-Ma'ad. So Surah al-Asr, the Shaykh continues, so Surah al-Asr draws attention to the fact that mankind, all of them, are in loss, except those who are accepted from that by Allah. And that is the person who has completed his own faculties in knowledge by having Iman in Allah. And who has completed his physical faculties through acts of obedience. So through these two comes about his completeness in himself. And then he strives to complete others by enjoining the other person with that and commanding him with it. And that is gained by sabr, patience, which is the limit of completeness. Again he said, Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, said, all of the people of intellect have said. Bliss and na'im cannot be attained by living a life of bliss. And ease and relaxation will not be attained through ease and relaxation. I mean, a person who wants the bliss of the hereafter and ease and relaxation in the hereafter, he won't get it. He won't attain it by striving for bliss in this life and by striving for relaxation in this life. He will not obtain that through that means. And that whoever gives preference to the delights, meaning of this world, will miss out on the delights, the true delights. Then he said, he mentioned some further points, but just to make it brief, he said further on, Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he also said, completeness, al-kamal, is that a person is complete in himself and seeks to bring about completeness in others. So this surah, despite its briefness, is the most comprehensive surah in the Qur'an with regard to all good. That's from the book Miftah Dar al-Sa'adah. And just to finish, the Sheikh mentions, so this surah is from al-Mubashirat, is from good tidings, or from the warnings for a servant. I mean, for each and every individual, this surah can be one or the other. It'll be good tidings or a warning. So let the servant stop at it and weigh himself in accordance with it. Ibn Rajab, Hafiz Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he said, this surah is a mizan. This surah is a scale, is a balance for actions. The believer can weigh himself with it. And it will become clear to him whether he is in profit or in loss. Obviously meaning, that's a quote from Lata'if al-Mu'arif, in the light of the point Shaykh al-Fawzan made clear, the four points there, that knowledge, action upon it, calling to it, and patience upon that. The person weighs himself in the light of that and sees where he is with regard to that. Then he can weigh himself in the light of that and see, is he in profit or is he in loss? So the Shaykh finished. So this is a surah which fully deserves that it should be said about it, what the Imams have said about it, because of its tremendous status. No. Alhamdulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any points of clarification?
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك.